I'm Erin Fairbanks, reporting for HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We're checking in with our food community to see how everyone is holding up in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy. So I'm here with Kate McKenzie, Director of Policy and Government Relations for City Harvest. Kate, how has City Harvest been weathering the storm?
Well, you know, we were poised to do whatever we could and are really ramping up efforts to be in disaster relief mode in addition to continuing to serve our agency network of emergency food providers. You know, these are certainly unprecedented times that have thrown us all a few curveballs, but City Harvest is really on the road delivering really great food to our agency network, as well as those hit hardest by the hurricane.
And was your location or your offices hit at all? Or,
well, you know, in fact, we were in Zone A. Our facility where we get a lot of our food coming into is right on Newtown Creek. We have been there for a little over a year. And this was the first time that we really had a run-in with the creek. And fortunately, you know, things could have been a lot worse. But our fleet of trucks was impacted by the debris that came came from the creek. And we've been fortunate to get some other trucks, some rentals, and some borrowed. And we're actually at a capacity of about 12 to 15 trucks right now. Inside the actual facility, our refrigerator took in some water, and so we're working to work around that as well. But to be honest, with disaster relief efforts, you know, our refrigerator is much like most people, you know, in the city right now, and so we're working to get out shelf-stable, you know, food, ready-to-eat foods. Those are our top priority right now. So, you know, things from, you know, ready-to-eat fruits could be bananas and pears or coconut water and regular water, you know, flip-top, you know, cans of food that are ready-to-eat as well. We want to be able to respond to the needs that people have right away.
So I'm curious, if you can give us a sense of scale, how much more service are you providing right now than you would on a normal day? I mean, how different, how much of a stretch is it for your organization?
Yeah, well, you know, it makes us really appreciate the infrastructure that we have working with the Emergency Food Network, because those are sites that we know. We can rely on their ability to take you know, really large loads of food and function kind of in a hub-and-spoke model. So, for instance, if we have a very kind of, you know, well-established organization in Brooklyn, we can send food there, and smaller emergency food programs can pick up from there. So we're continuing to do that, but what's posing a bit of a challenge is finding sites across the city that we can you know, provide meal, you know, kind of back of the truck deliveries. And so actually this morning we were able to kind of piggyback on some deliveries that the city coordinated through FEMA in Breezy Point, in Rockaways, and Coney Island, where they were setting up. We could be there as well to get out foods that were not, you know, in the MREs or the, you know, ready to go meals, but were things that, you know, people could, you know, unpeel a banana right away, or, you know, really just get something in their stomachs immediately that was very familiar to them. You know, so we are also, you know, working very closely with our city partners and others to find those areas that maybe not are, you know, may not be in our emergency network, but are serving as sites right now. We also sent out a load to the Park Slope Armory that has a lot of kosher evacuees, you know, there right now who, for obvious reasons can't eat the MREs, and so they need additional food supplies. And so we're trying to get food there to them, and we were able to make that delivery today.
I think you really hit on a good point of the importance of having cultural appropriate supplies. And one of the things that's been coming up a lot is how best to support organizations like yours. Is it donating money, canned goods, volunteering? What's the best way for our listeners to support the work you're doing?
Sure. Thanks for asking that question. If people go to cityharvest.org, as well as our Facebook page, we really, extol the virtues of social media in times like this. People can see the opportunities that are available for volunteering. We're doing what we call repacks. So, for example, we might get a huge tractor trailer load, what we call a mixed load of foods coming in, being donated, and that food needs to be sorted so that it can go, directly into the hands of people that need it. So sorting through those foods, and we're going to be making some of those opportunities available, throughout the coming days. And unfortunately weeks, because this is going to stretch for quite some time. We are always, happy to take food, and very shortly, we're going to kick off, our annual Daily News Readers Care Food Drive, which is at all the fire stations and police headquarters and other sites as well. And that will provide an easy way where people can make, personal donations of food. But, I really encourage people to check out our website. And of course, monetary donations are certainly welcome at this time because, nobody plans for an emergency like this. And, so everything that we're doing is on top of our regular efforts. And so we would, really appreciate the support to continue to get out, today and tomorrow and, throughout the days ahead. To meet the demand and to really make sure that, people are fed.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that, Kate, and best of luck. And we look forward to following your progress and working to support you in the weeks and months to come as everyone in the city is looking to get back on their feet. Thanks a lot.
I really appreciate the time. Thanks.
Follow us on Twitter at @Heritage_Radio or on Facebook, Heritage Radio Network, for updates and more info on the response to Superstorm Sandy.